This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Are we going to forge on? Are we going to forge on? All right, right now what we want to do very quickly, a bit of legal housekeeping here. Legislative ruling for marriage. So a lot of people, they think marriage has a single ruling. That is fard. You have to get married. That is not the basic ruling for marriage. We mentioned arba'un min sunan al-mursaleen. Four things are from the tradition or the way of the prophets. The sunan is not the basic ruling for marriage. Is that is sunnah. That meaning the person that possesses the means to marry, desires to marry, and is not devoted to worship, then it's desirable, it's sunnah for that person to get married. Now some scholars say that if a person has the means, wants to get married, but doesn't fear they'll fall into haram if they get married, if they don't get married, so I want to get married, but I'm okay single, and they are devoted to worship, then in that case, it's better for that person to remain single and to continue to worship Allah. Because we were created to do what? To get married or to worship Allah? To worship Allah. Marriage is an aspect of worship if it's undertaken with the proper intention, but we were created to worship. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I've only created the jinn and human. Humans that they worship me. So if again, it's sunnah, highly desirable, but not obligatory to get married if a person has the means, desires to get married, and is not devoted to worship. What's called khilaf al-awla, against or in opposition to the most appropriate course. Khilaf al-awla, if a person desires to marry but can't afford to do so, then it's undesirable. Khilaf al-awla for this person to get married. Why? Because if a person can't afford it but does it anyway, then that person is probably, not necessarily, but probably going to end up in some situations that are haram. So the person's implemented a sunnah, but in a situation that will lead to haram. So in this case, warding off the haram has precedence over implementing the sunnah. So again, khilaf al-awla, undesirable. If a person desires to marry, but cannot afford to do so. So if you know someone, they want to get married, but they don't have a job, say, brother, get a job first, then get married. It's makruh or disliked. So makruh, karaha, is stronger than khilaf al-awla. It's stronger. So this is undesirable, this is disliked. There's no desire to marry, nor does one possess the means. So you don't want to get married, you can't afford to get married, but you do it anyway because all your friends are doing it. That is makruh, disliked. That is disliked. Okay? Fard. In some situations, it might be fard, obligatory to get married. What are those situations? You own the means, a person owns the means and fears that he or she will fall into sinful activity if they don't get married, such as fornication, such as pornography, or other sinful activity. In that case, it is fard, it is obligatory for that person to get married. Why? He or she has the means to get married. and he or she fears that they will fall into sinful activity if they don't get married. In that case, it is fard to get married. So if you know someone that has a lot of money and they're like, you know, I'm going to do something sinful if I don't get married, so then you better get married. If you don't, I'm going to chase you with a broomstick until you get married. In some instances, it's haram to get married. So if a person knows going into the marriage that he or she, there should be a she here, will oppress their spouse, it's haram to get married. The sister's been taking martial arts for 10 years. Ha, ha, ha. And she's like, as soon as I get my hands on a man, every sister that has to go to Nisat, that's the Muslim woman's homeless shelter in this area, I'm going to get her revenge. Ha, 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 ha. And she knows, as soon as she gets her hand on a man, she's going to wreck him. Did you treat my sisters like dead? It wasn't me. It's haram for that sister to get married because she's going to oppress her spouse. Poor guys. What did I do? It's haram in that case. Forbidden to get married. So again, there are various rulings for marriage. There's no one particular ruling. The rulings vary according to the individual and the individual's circumstance. It's sunnah for some people, most people. Khilaf al-awla for some people, undesirable. Makruh for some people, disliked. Fard for some people, obligatory. Haram for other people, forbidden. Why? Why is it forbidden? La darar wa la dirar. Our religion neither allows for harm or reciprocating harm. One of the foundational principles of our law, ad-darar yuzal. Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had a question. Harm is to be removed. Ad-darar yuzal. Harm is to be removed. So if we remove the harm by not letting this person get married, so be it. That's how we remove the harm. All right, so now we're going to move into the second session, wisdom from the tradition. But before doing that, let's go back to the workbook. So we want everyone to take a little self-examination here. If you turn to page, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, page 4 for the sisters and page 5 for the brothers. Take a little time to score this. Now, if you're not married, you could do it anyway. But this is basically for marriage people to see where you're at in your marriage. To see where you're at in your marriage. So take some time and do that. We give you 3 minutes and 42 seconds. Bismillah. Number 8 for the female should be bickerer, constantly bickering. Actually, I think that's a mistake. Ignore that one. Ignore that one. Number 8 for the females. Ignore that one. That's a mistake. Also, sisters, number 17 should be partner, not parent. 17, partner. I'm married. I rarely, if ever, feel like I'm married to a critical partner. Number 17 for sisters, page 4. Critical partner, not parent. Okay, everyone should be done. Now these are generalizations. If you have a wonderful marriage and you got 20 of these false, don't go and get a divorce. But generally speaking, if you got 0 to 6 false, then you're in good shape. If you got 7 to 12 false, then your marriage could use a little tweaking. If you got more than 13 faults, you should consider, and you're having some problems. So if you have 13 faults, but you know, things are pretty good. It's just you got 13 faults. But if not, if you got 13 or more of these faults, and you're having some problems and a lot of arguments, you should see a professional marriage counselor. Seriously. That's the whole purpose of this little exercise. All right, let's go back to this concept of oppression. That was an excellent question / observation. So it's not just physical abuse. A person knows that he or she will physically abuse their spouse. They know going in they're not going to give them their rights. So the man is a total miser, and he knows he's not going to spend any money on his wife. So he's going to eat out at restaurants and sneak home and not go grocery shopping. He knows that going in. Or he knows that he'll do anything his mother asks, even if it's against Islam, with no consideration for his wife. So his mother is like, you have to stay here with me because you and your father were in a scary neighborhood, so we need you to protect us. So he knows he's not going to spend any time with his wife. Anything his mother says, he's going to do, no matter how much it affects his relationship, even if his mother's oppressing him herself. So it could be verbal, he knows, or she knows, that they have a very abusive tongue. And that's just the way. I've heard people say this with some serious character defects. That's just the way I am. I'm not changing for anybody. I'm married, single. That's how I talk to people. And so that person shouldn't get married because you know he's going to be arguing all the time. And again, the wife's there like, what did I do? The husband, what did I do? I mean, man, you act like, the way you unleash on me sometimes, you act like I'm Saddam and you're the U.S. Army or the U.S. Air Force just bombing me for no reason. She said, well, you got weapons of mass destruction up under that hijab. So it could be physical abuse, psychological abuse, verbal abuse, and the person knows going in they're going to oppress their spouse in that way. So it would be a wide number of things. Is that okay? Who asked that? Is that okay? Inshallah. Yes, sir. Naam is sunnah if the person is not devoted to worship. It's sunnah to marry if they have the mean, they desire to marry, and they're not devoted. If they have the mean, desire to marry, and they are devoted to worship, it's not desirable. It's better, in the opinion of some scholars, to stay single and continue your devotion. You got it? Yes, sir.
I have a question about this haram thing, the last one.
Right? That's bad advice. Marriage will never fix a personality disorder. Get the personality disorder fixed and then get married. Marriage will accentuate it, I guarantee you. You think he or she has a temper now? Yes, sir. Well, it's not haram for them to get married, but if they're going to give their spouse their full right, they're not going to be able to do the devotional acts that they're accustomed to. it's just there's no way. Number one, that person might be working a part-time job. And then the rest of the time is Quran, is dhikr, is qiyam al-layl, is voluntary fasting, because they have the energy to do that. They're not working all the time. They get married, that part-time job has to become a full-time job. So not only is more energy now expended, more time is expended engaged outside of worship. And then just extrapolate from there. All right, so let's move on here to the next area. All right, this is, we're going to look at some of the hikam aphorisms of Ibn Ata'illah Siskandari. And then we're going to just see and explore and examine how these can assist us in our relationship. So this is beyond marriage. So the first one, this is the first one in his book, من علامات الاعتماد على العمل نقصان الرجاء عند وجود الزلل. So among the signs that a person is over-relying on one's actions is a loss of hope when one slips or experiences a setback. So how can this over-reliance on one's actions manifest itself in the context of a relationship? Marriage, friendship, parent, child, child, parent? Anyone, this is a question I'm asking you guys. Let me rephrase the question or repeat it. How can an over-reliance on one's actions? So what is this talking about? If I do everything I'm supposed to do the right way, how it's supposed to be done, then the outcome I desire will be there. And so when I can't do the action, then I give up hope of achieving the outcome. Or if the action isn't there, Allah Ta'ala from His grace can affect the outcome. Or no matter what I do, if it's inconsistent with what Allah has decreed, that outcome isn't going to be there. How can that have a negative, this attitude? Overly relying on one's actions. And then as a result, becoming frustrated or despairing when one slips, experiences a setback, or can't do what one expected one has to do to affect a certain outcome. How could that affect relationship? Brothers, so, yes?
Because a person might always be under pressure that, you know, I have to do this. And he might be in a constant sense of pressure because he has to do all of these actions. But at the same time, if he tries his best to complete something, then he is, you know, always cognizant of Allah's mercy in case he falls back or slips away.
Okay, very good. Yes, sir. All right, he or she might not see that it might be a test. Yes.
1 second. Sometimes there's a loss of intention and passion, and the relationship can just become a set of algorithms or sort of an engineered process of how to receive the predictable outcomes that you want.
Okay. We're back here. A hand went up. Yes.
It brings about a self-imposed, you know, restraint and self-imposed.
Okay, you... Okay, so you think you can control the outcome. So Allah doesn't have anything to do. I take care of my business, then it's going to be the way I think it should be. Okay, I'm in control. Now when things don't happen the way I think they should, I'm not in control. Okay? Loss of control. Yes?
I think it will bring upon this expectation of perfection from yourself and from the other.
Expecting perfection. So if I do everything perfectly, then I'll get the perfect outcome. Let me give you all of those things. I think that's what I was looking for. But let me bring it all together. And let me know what you think about this. I'm going to marry this young lady and I'm going to mold her to be the kind of wife she needs to be if she's going to be with me. So I work and work and work to mold her. And she's still rebellious. What might happen? These kids, I will show them and make them not be Americans. Even though they're born and raised and go to school and live and in a neighborhood surrounded by Americans, I'm going to make them Egyptian. And then when they're still Americans, so Ahmed's still coming home with that baseball cap turned around backwards. He's still, okay, assalamu alaikum, what's up, pops? Man, Mulukhiya, where's my pizza? Fool with ta'amir, ta'amir with fool. Fool with ta'amir, ta'amir. I want some oatmeal for breakfast. It could create a lot of stress and tension. A lot of stress and tension. So, and that's a sign that one is overly relying on one's actions. And therefore, what happens to that husband? She'll never change. Why? Because I couldn't change her. She's got to go. He loses hope. Those parents, these kids, I should have never come to America. Yes, you should not have come to America. How about going back? No way. Back then, it's crowded in Cairo. I got accustomed to this nice suburban lifestyle. So give up hope. And yell, scream, and never change. You're no good. You're just like your father. I didn't mean that. So a person gives up hope. نقصان الرجاء عند وجود الزلل. Or the person's not able to do what they think they can do to affect the outcome. So one or two things. I've worked, the outcome's not there, I give up hope. Or I'm not able to do what I think I should do, therefore it's hopeless, it's not going to happen. Sometimes we just have to step back and let Allah Ta'ala's wisdom unfold. That child, 90% of the time, he's going to grow out of that phase, rebellious, overemphasized, hip-hop phase, or she. That spouse you're ready to give up on, Allah Ta'ala can turn their hearts. And time can season and mature a person. I'll give you a good example. How about the example of the Aziz, in the Surah Yusuf, the wife of the Aziz in Egypt. Look at who she was at first. She was arrogant. She was lustful. She saw no fault in herself. Right? So she's trying to attack Yusuf, almost ripped his shirt off. It's not my fault. He looks too good. So all these rumors start flying. The wife, she tried to seduce Yusuf. Wow, she has no character. So it's not my fault. He looks too good. I'll prove it. All you women starting all this gossip, come here. Sit down. Take this knife. Yusuf, enter. Ah! He is too handsome. It's not her fault. See? That's, subhanAllah, look at that character. She's like that. But at the end of the story, that episode rather, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. I don't absolve myself of any blame. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. It's the beginning. It's not my fault. It's Yusuf's fault. Handsome rascal. A few years later, a few years down the road, maturity, living life. being seasoned. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I don't absolve myself of any blame. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَ بِالسُّوءِ. This is the nature of the untrained soul. My soul then was untrained. It was unrefined. And the soul in that state inclines and commands that which is evil and vile. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Except those that my Lord has mercy on. So she was a totally transformed woman. She wasn't the same woman. So over time, people change. Life seasons people. People gain experience. People gain mature. And so, but when we give up hope in people because we experience a setback or we slip or we can't do the things we think we should do to bring about a certain outcome, then we can become very, very frustrated. Yes. The battery on the house mic is down. All right, I think you could all hear while he's changing the battery. The next one, he says, Rahimahullah, this is the second hikam. إرادتك تجريد مع إقامة الله إياك في الأسباب من الشهوة الخفية وإرادتك الأسباب مع إقامة الله إلى إياك في التجريد انحطاط عن الهمة العالية. So you're desiring to be divested from the world despite the fact that Allah has facilitated worldly involvement for you. Beware that leaving those worldly means, that involvement in the world, may be the expression of a hidden lust. And the reason the ulama say a hidden lust, because on the surface, leaving your job to go study Islam, memorize Quran, make dhikr all day, is something laudable. But it might be the expression of a hidden lust, number one, because it's giving preference to the desire of your soul over what Allah Ta'ala has facilitated for you. So that's following the shahwa of the nafs. It might be the expression of a hidden lust because those worldly preoccupations involve fatigue. It involves getting up. You live in Tracy at 5 in the morning and fighting traffic for 2.5 hours to get into San Francisco to work and doing it in the evening all over again. Then going home and throwing some food in your mouth and running out of the door to go to the University of Phoenix so you can get your MBA, so you can get transferred to Pleasanton and not have to deal with this commute. And so you're doing your night school. And then the weekend, you're just trying to recover from it all. And Monday, you get up and start it over again. But it's all lawful. And it allows you to take care of your family. And running away from that might be seeking just to have some comfort. So that's why it might be a hidden lust. So on the surface, I want to study Islam. I want to remember, but deep down that, I want some comfort, man. That rush hour is wicked. That's why it's called a hidden lust. As for your desire for worldly means, despite the fact that Allah has divested you from the world, beware that leaving that state of divestment might involve a descent from lofty spiritual aspirations. So Allah's given you the opportunity. Study Islam, facilitated it, but you're living a subsistence level living. You're living like a peasant. They say a subsistence farmer. You barely have enough food. You don't even know how you get by from week to week. But alhamdulillah, your wife or husband's patient with that. Your kids, they're not wearing the best clothes. You keep them neat and clean. But you even have to, Allah forbid, who knows what a hand-me-down is? Whoever hand-me-down. Do they still have hand-me-downs? I thought they were extinct. That's when the older child outgrows the clothing, so you give it to the younger one. So in your studying and your life of worship and khidmah, service to the religion, you have to use hand-me-downs. They're good clothes. You bought good clothes, Oshkosh. You know, they hold up. So they're looking good, but they're hand-me-downs. So you decide, you know what, alhamdulillah, I've been able to memorize Quran, I memorize Sahih Bukhari, I learned my fiqh, I make dhikr all day, I can do qiyam every night because I can take a nap after fajr, after my fajr lesson, but our children shouldn't be wearing hand-me-downs. We shouldn't be eating meat once a month. We should be like Americans. We should have meat every meal. So I'm going to go out and get a job, a real job. And so desiring worldly means, despite the fact that Allah has divested one from the world, beware that that might be, leaving that state of divestment might involve a descent from lofty spiritual aspirations. Look how your himma was, your drive, your spiritual aspiration, your longing for Allah Ta'ala, to be with Allah, to worship Allah. Look how that was. And then, now how could that affect our relationships? Here more specifically, a marriage. Anybody? Brothers, sisters. Okay, both parties aren't on the same page, and one or the other doesn't fully appreciate what Allah Ta'ala has facilitated. So maybe one party here, in the first instance, the sister has a responsible husband, goes to work every day, lawful income. She's eating, being clothed, sheltered from halal income, and she's pushing on him to leave his job and go study. I always wanted to marry a scholar. So why don't you just leave and just, we can go, we can tough it out. And so maybe they do. And by leaving what Allah's facilitated, one is left to one's own devices. So they go, and so they're over in Syria. And believe it or not, in Syria it gets cold in the winter. And that cold is accentuated by the fact that there's no heat in the houses. And the no heat in the houses is accentuated by the fact that they're made out of concrete. You know what happens when coal gets in the concrete? If it gets in December, it doesn't go away till May. And that's accentuated by the fact that they're on the shaded side of the building. There's no direct sunlight. And so the same sister that, oh, you should leave your job, she says, it's so cold in here. Why can't you find a place with some heat? It's like there's no place in Syria with heat. You could be in Mukhayyam Yarmouk, one of the Palestinian refugee camps, or Mizra Gharbiya, one of the exclusive neighborhoods, and there is no heat in the house. That's the reality of the situation. So I can't take this. We got to go back to America. Now go back to America, no job, left the job, sorry, the economy changed. Your job has been outsourced, Abdul. No job. Now the children, they don't have the level of food you're accustomed. You can't shop at Whole Foods anymore. They can't afford to eat organic now. That stresses you out. I'm feeding this junk to my kids. Well, you should have just been patient. And because we had an aphorism a couple days ago that said that if Allah Ta'ala wants you to do something, He will do it in the situation that you're in. So if Allah wants your husband to be a scholar, He can make him a scholar, and he still works 9 to 5. Many people have gotten very respectable levels of Islamic knowledge, memorize the Quran. There's people in this audience memorize Quran in school, school years, after school, on the side. You know, if Allah wants you to be a hafiz, He'll make you a hafiz. He will do it. You can't do it. You will go and think that you go overseas, so you go overseas, the same family. The wife's complaining, so now the brother has to go get a job at the American Language Center, which teaching English, which is a demanding task. There's a lot of homework, all kinds of everyday homework to correct. So he has to leave his lessons, he has to stop his hif, and now he's working full-time in Damascus. And there's no time to study. And then, on top of all of that, he has no tawfiq. So he could have, so now he goes and 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years bumping around the Middle East. Well, it's Damascus. That's the problem. There's no tawfiq here. Let's go to Cairo. Oh, boy. He thought he had problems in Damascus. Because Cairo, in addition to feeding his family, he has to buy train fare to get from one side of the town to the other. Damascus is small. You could walk. I had a bike, one of those Chinese bikes, black, indestructible. The best bike ever made. They had like metal rods for the brakes. You never had to change the nothing. You just change the little brake pads, you're straight. The best bike ever made, the Phoenix. That's what it was, the Chinese Phoenix. Yes, sir. No, there's always a room to improve within the context of what Allah Ta'ala has laid out. So Allah's facilitated worldly means, so get a promotion, but don't leave your job. You know, start studying harder. Don't drop out of school. Start taking lessons on the weekend and after school, not 11 in the afternoon. I have to cut back work on Tuesday and Thursday because the Sheikh's going to give me time at 11 a.m. You could start putting yourself in a very precarious situation. Yes? Right. Well, it's not saying I'm supposed to be poor. It's saying I'm supposed to be involved with these worldly means I'm involved in, working 9 to 5, raising a family, as opposed to divesting myself from that. So within that context, hey, look, I'm going to med school. I took my whatever MCATs or whatever you take to go to med school. I passed and I got accepted in. So I'm going to do that. So that's still within the means of worldly means, as opposed to divestment. Here is going into strictly religious means. So within this realm or that realm, but within this realm or that realm, there are parameters. And between the two realms, did I put myself in this or did Allah put me in it? If Allah put me in it, it's not fitting and appropriate that I take myself out. If Allah puts me in, then and He takes me out, then I leave it. Of what Allah facilitates. It could be a trial for you. But within that realm, you, number one, before you do anything, you make istikhara. When you make istikhara, you ask for Allah Ta'ala to make things easy for you and to make them subservient to you and then to bless you in it. Or to ward it off from you, fasrifu anni, or ward you off from it. So if Allah Ta'ala facilitates something for you, that's what you should be doing. If Allah is warding it off from you, then you shouldn't be doing. So you're before you are these two choices. Let's just generalize. A worldly course of involvement or a course of religious involvement. You just graduated college. You make istikhara. Allah, show me which way I should go. You're thinking of going to med school or going to Yemen, Hadramaut, to study Islam. You're living your life. You prejudiced the car. Your application for medical school was rejected. You applied to 6 schools. All of them rejected you, even the one in the Caribbean. You, at the same time, you get a phone call from someone you know very well who's in Yemen. Yeah, you know, I'm coming home. Habib Omar is kicking me out. So if you know anyone that's coming over here, they could stay in my house that I built. And so this path is being blocked before you. This path is being opened for you. So it's clear Allah Ta'ala is moving you towards that path. And that's what you prayed for. Make it easy for me. Make it within my means. فَقَدِرْهُ لِي وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي. That's what you're praying for, and that's what Allah is doing. But instead, you send out 10 more applications for med school. You tell him, yeah, okay, I'll look for someone. I think one of the brothers is coming over there. And so what Allah is facilitating, you move away from. And what He's warding off from you. So your med school application get rejected. Your father says, you know what, I was thinking about it. Even if you get to med school, I'm not paying for it. 4 years was enough. I paid for 4 years. That's my duty. You get a job, go to med school, do what you want. So you got rejected. Your father says, if you do get in, I'm not paying for it. So it's clear Allah Ta'ala is warding that off. And it's clear He's facilitating this. What He's facilitating, that's what we should be doing. And what He's warding off, that what we shouldn't be doing. And when it's hard for us to distinguish, we make a decision, trust in Allah, and pray that He blesses us in that path. Wallahu alam wa musta'an. Allah knows best. So in any case, the point here is that, and a good point was raised here. Maybe one party or the other is not going with the flow. We have to try to recognize where the blessing, the benefit, and the facilitation of Allah Ta'ala lies. If Allah has facilitated this, I personally don't like it. I don't think I should be here freezing in Damascus, but in this case, the person's having tawfiq in their studies. I think my kids should be wearing clothes from Macy's and not hand-me-downs. But you know what? Alhamdulillah, we're happy, we're eating, we're surviving, and we're learning. Our kids are getting an opportunity to learn their religion. So I'm going to support you in this. Or vice versa. You know, I want to go study, but alhamdulillah, you have a good job here in America, and inshallah, Allah will bless you. We can move closer to the MCA. They have a lot of classes going on. And we'll get tawfiq. So keep doing what you're doing. So we have to work with each other and support each other in the context that's been made clear for us. Related to that, سَوَابِقُ الْهِمَمِ لَا تَخْرِكُ أَسْوَارَ الْأَقْدَارِ, that the strength of resolved aspirations will never penetrate or smash the walls of fate. This goes back to the first one. Sometimes no matter how hard we work at something, it's not decreed to happen. One of the early Muslims, he said, very nice saying, مَنْ طَلَبَ مَا لَمْ يُخْلَقْ أَتْعَبَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَمْ يُرْزَقْ. مَنْ طَلَبَ مَا لَمْ يُخْلَقْ أَتْعَبَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَمْ يُرْزَقْ. Whoever seeks something that hasn't been created, he or she exhausts themselves and they don't receive or they're not bestowed that which they're seeking after. So understand, brothers and sisters, something that hasn't been created by Allah for the time you're in is not going to be. So no matter how strong our aspirations, no matter how much planning, how much work goes into something, that will never smash the walls of ordainment. What Allah Ta'ala ordains will be, ما شاء الله كان. كان وما لم يشأ لم يكن ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. What Allah wills is, what Allah has not willed is not, and there is no strength or power except Allah. So if Allah hasn't willed that you're married to super Muslim woman or super Muslim man, he's not going to be super Muslim. She's not going to be super Muslim. So be content with good Muslim. And as we said, try to work together to help him or her to be better Muslim. If your kids are not inclined to be the next Sibawayhi, just ask Allah to bless them to enjoy Shakespeare. Be good in English if you're not going to be good in Arabic. Stay in school. But if they're not decreed to be the next Sibawayhi, no matter how much you try, how many tutors you get, how much your level of frustration grows, it's not going to happen. Accept them for who they are. And look for the good that is there. And nurture that. See, I didn't want my child to be a fencer. But they're the best fencer in your state. That's a nice Islamic sport. On God. Encourage that. If that's keeping them in school, if that's keeping them in the masjid, if that's keeping them happy with you, but no, my child, this is a sports crazy society. You're going to go to the masjid and memorize the Quran. And if you don't get it from me, you get it from Movisab. He'll bludgeon you into submission. But you will submit. Subhanallah. What's going to happen to that child? They're going to hate the Quran. Where did Irshad Menji get her start, according to her? You guys know who Irshad Menji is. Where did the Canadian... Where did she get her start, according to her story? In her local mosque, in her local Quran school. That was the root of her problems. And that's the root of a lot of kids' problems. Some kids prosper and succeed. We don't want to knock the local Quran school. But some people, the person doesn't understand them. They brought them from the middle of who knows where, dropped them in America. They can't speak English. They were used to being bludgeoned in submission. And so now these kids who grew up in this typical average American environment, they're being smacked because they didn't memorize their page. And they're ready to rebel. They're conspiring like we're going to jump the Hafiz tonight. And then they run away from Quran. I've seen it. And in my own community, I've seen it. Where kids, and some of these kids, actually memorize Quran. Now they have nothing to do with Quran because for them it was such a painful and abusive process. So the point is though, maybe it wasn't Allah Ta'ala didn't decree that your son's going to be or daughter the next Sibawayhi or the next Imam Malik or the next whoever. Maybe Allah Ta'ala decreed they'll win a gold medal in fencing at the Olympics. And then when they go to get the gold medal, they'll hold up the Quran and the Mus'haf. And then Homeland Security will come visit you the next day. What are you teaching that child? So we have to learn to try to understand and recognize where the decree is to the extent of our ability. And to recognize that, as we said, مَنْ طَلَبَ مَنْ لَمْ يُخْلَقْ أَتْعَبَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَمْ يُرْزَقْ. So we're trying to get something that hasn't been created. If Allah hasn't created it, how can it be? This is one meaning of Imam al-Shafi saying, الْوَقْتْ كَالسَّيْفِ إِلَّمْ تَقْطَعْهُ قَطَعَكْ. That time is like a sword. If you don't cut it off, it'll cut you off. One meaning of this is this. There's only one decree for every moment. There are not two decrees. There's only one decree for every moment. If we don't learn to try to recognize and accept what's decreed for the moment we're in, we're going to get cut by that sword. We're going to harm ourselves spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. But if we go with the decree, the sword never cuts us. So we're moving with the sword, it never catches us. When we go against it, so what's been decreed for that moment is. What's been decreed for that child is. That's their ajal is subject to Allah Ta'ala's decree. And so what's manifesting itself, that's what's been decreed. And we're trying to impose our decree and our will on it. Doesn't happen. So وَابِخُ الْهِمَمِ No matter how strong our aspiration, our will, our desire will, is لَا تَخْرِقُ أَسْوَارَ الْأَقْدَارِ It will not penetrate the walls of faith. To say nothing of smashing them. To penetrate is to get through. Sometimes we want to smash the walls of faith. It's not going to happen. Yes, sir. First of all, this merits a discussion. Write that question down. We'll have a discussion on that. But one tries to see if what one is trying to oppose is consistent or in opposition to the Sharia. So in other words, your child wants to be a fencer. The example we will use. You want your child to be Sibawayhi. So you're discouraging fencing. This is kafir athletics. This whole sports culture is damaging, destructive, no good. And you want them to study Arabic. I'm going to get you a tutor. I'm going to get you three tutors. And you will learn this language. So what they're doing is not in opposition to the divine law. If it's in opposition, we should oppose it to all of our means. So your daughter, as opposed to wanting to be a fencer, or your son, a fencer, wants to be a pig farmer. You oppose that because it's opposition to Sharia with all of your power and your strength. So that's the basic measure. But there are nuances, and so let's discuss this later. But basically, that which is consistent with Sharia, one tries to accept. That which is in opposition with Sharia, one tries to oppose. But there are nuances involved in that. All right, another one here. So he says, اجتهادك فيما ضمن لك وتقصيرها فيما طلب منك دليل على انطماس البصيرة منك. So your assiduous striving, اجتهادك, for that which has been guaranteed for you, فيما ضمن لك. So your risk, your substance, this has been guaranteed for all of us. Allah Ta'ala has decreed what this will be before we came into this world. We're in pre-existing eternity. And then reinforce that when we're in the womb of our parents. And you're falling short. وَتَقْصِيرُكَ فِيمَا دُمِنَا طُلِبَ مِنْكَ And then you're falling short in that which has been requested of you. We've been requested to worship. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ That's an amr, an order. اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ O mankind, O humankind, worship your Lord who has created you and created those who preceded you in order that you will grow in your consciousness of God. So that's what's been demanded of us. When we fall short in this, because we're putting so much effort into this, then this is an indication that the inner light has been extinguished. So in our context, the context of marriage and relationships, this should be the foundation of our relationships. Our coming together should help us to strengthen each other in this. And we should understand this has been decreed. If it's a lot, that's been decreed, and we should share it. We shouldn't deny it. If Allah blesses you to be wealthy, may He bless you to be more wealthy. Who are the two people that can be rightfully envied? Two people that can be rightfully envied. The person who has knowledge and teaches and shares that knowledge. And the second, the person who has wealth and spends that fi sabilillah. Well, I wish I had $1 billion so I could spend it fi sabilillah. So, but this has been determined. So if it comes, the $1 billion comes, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome, ya $1 billion. Welcome, $1 billion. I have some good plans for you. And if it doesn't come, mashallah. But this is what we have to really strive for. So we strive for this because to a degree it facilitates this. But we don't strive for this to the point that it negates this. And again, when we can understand that this is the priority, then we can build our relationship as a relationship where we help, consciously help to strengthen each other in our worship, in our belief, in our practice, so we can both make it to paradise. And so that gives focus and purpose to the relationship. So I'm not just floating through life with you. I'm trying to help you to get to paradise. And inshallah, God willing, you're trying to help me to get to paradise. And so this becomes our purpose. So we went back, one of the greatest ways to combat shaitan is to have a purpose in life. So our purpose is to help each other to maintain our worship and to help each other to make it to paradise. And Allah Ta'ala will take care of this. And if He takes care of it bounteously, so we have this cornucopia of good, alhamdulillah. If He gives us a little, alhamdulillah. It's all good. A lot is good, a little is good. What Allah has decreed, I'll go with the flow. But this is my priority. And when the husband and wife, parents and children, children and parents, can all understand that this is the priority, life becomes easy. So, and as children understanding that, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail, when he was to sacrifice him, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْأَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قال يا أبا تفعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. So when he reached that age, لما بلغ معه السعي, when he could start going around with his father, that's the age fathers wait for. All right, now I can show Junior the ropes. Show him how things work in the world. فلما بلغ معه السعي. قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحَكَ. Right at that age, not at before that or after that, right at that precious age. Oh, my son, I've seen in my dream that I'm to sacrifice you. So the dreams of the Prophet are forms of revelation. He has to do this. This is a revelation from Allah. قَالَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Despite that, he counseled him. That's a lesson for us. We have to counsel, talk to our children, get their input, solicit their input. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you think about this? Now, Ismail understood that I'm a child, but I have to help my parent to do this, to submit to the will of Allah. قَالَ يَا أَبَ تِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Father, do what you have to do. Do what God is telling you to do, and you will find me amongst those who are patient. I'll patiently persevere. Do what you have to do. So this is the spirit we have to have in our relationship. Do what you have to do. يَا أَبَ تِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. Ya zawji, ya zawjati, if'al, if'ali ma tu'mar. Satajiruni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. My husband, my wife, do what you have to do. You'll find me patient, as opposed to being impatient and wanting this, that, or the other. And then he says, and then I think, yeah, we'll stop here, but we'll give you a homework assignment. That's due tomorrow morning. You get a chance to think about it. لا يكون تأخر عمد العطاء مع الإحاف الدعاء موجبا ليأسك فهو ضمن لك الإجابة فيما يختاره لك لا فيما تختاره لنفسك وفي الوقت الذي يريد ما لا في وقت الذي تريد. So do not allow the delay of the time you anticipate being given a gift from Allah. So my husband is going to get that promotion. My wife's going to get an inheritance. My wife's going to start listening to me. My husband's going to start being more compassionate. And he's going to do it next week. She's going to do it next month. It might take a little bit of time. Allah hasn't decreed that that change is going to happen next week or next month. But give it time. And if it doesn't occur when you think it should occur, don't despair. Don't despair and give up hope. Give it time, because oftentimes Allah has decreed she is going to get more compassionate, she is going to get more considerate and more obedient, etc. Those children are going to grow out of this stage, but it's going to take a little time. Don't despair. Don't give up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Only a disbelieving people despair of being relieved by Allah. So if there's a problem in the relationship, don't despair. Give it a little time. Allah Ta'ala, keep praying. So, mal ilha'i fi du'a. Ilha' is to be fervent. So, despite, in fact, I didn't even translate that. That should be, do not allow the time. So that, yakun. تأخر أمر الإعطاء, the delay of the time you've been being given a gift from Allah, مع الإلحاء في الدعاء, despite your persistence in prayer. Oh Allah, I poured my heart out. Well, keep pouring your heart out. And don't despair. So don't allow that to cause you to despair. Why? Because Allah has guaranteed you the answer. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Call on me, I will answer you. Allah has promised the answer. Allah doesn't keep his promise. That's not what he said. Inna Allah la yukhlifu al-mi'ad. Innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad. Allah never breaks his promise. You never break your promise. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? We have to act like we believe it. Don't despair. Don't give up. She's never going to change. I should have married Fatima. She's already like that. Aisha's never going to change. I need a new wife. Don't despair. He's never going to change. He's just a bum. He always was a bum. Well, if he always was a bum, why did you marry him when he was a bum? He'll always be a bum. How do you know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't despair. He has guaranteed you the answer. Now it's time to pray. But in what He has chosen for you, not in what you have chosen for yourself. And at the time He desires, not the time you desire. Who's in charge, us or Allah? Allah ta'ala. Then when is the answer going to come? When we want it or when Allah wants it? When Allah wants it. With what we want or with what Allah wants? What Allah wants. So we'll miss the answer because it's not what we want. Sometimes being denied is the gift. And then we realize that down the road. Alhamdulillah, Allah didn't give me that because it would have ruined me. All right, so what we want you to do? So we did a little of this. Here's your homework. write down an aphorism and share it with the class. Now, what is an aphorism? It's a play on words that conveys great wisdom. I'll give you my own original aphorism to give you an idea, then we're going to go pray. This is an original aphorism. You ready? Within us all, within all of us, there lies the potential to realize our dreams. Got that? Repeat after me. Within all of us, there lies the potential to realize our dreams. However, within only a few of us, there lies the courage to realize our potential. Assalamu alaikum. Let's go pray.